This is Avi Arditi, and this week on Wordmaster, the language of peace. Robert Johansson is a professor at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. He says peace has a guarded place in the American vocabulary.
In the U.S. context, when you're campaigning in an election, you don't usually get more votes by emphasizing peace, at least very much. Now, people don't want to be seen as warmongers or as glorifying war, but usually you get points or you get votes by emphasizing strength.
Professor Johansson says it's easier for Americans to talk about peace when it's associated with personal peace.
You talk about being at peace with yourself, or you talk about, well, blessed are the peacemakers. So it's very positive in those contexts that deal with spiritual or personal inner peace or interpersonal relations. But when you deal with adversarial relations, there we're afraid of the use of the term unless it's sort of coupled with great military strength.
So peace does have its uses. Some people sign off letters with it. If a product is supposed to make you feel secure, advertisements promise peace of mind. Peace can even serve as a gentle word of warning.
Often in U.S. culture, in weddings, there is a time in which the clergy person will say, speak now or forever hold your peace. Or in other words, keep quiet. Don't make a stressful situation later on. Also, we're familiar with the terms keep the peace. I looked in the American Heritage Dictionary of Idioms, and it says there that this term or set of terms goes back to the 1400s in the English language, and it meant to maintain public order.
Another term, to leave someone in peace, means to leave a person alone.
Also, we talk about making one's peace with a certain situation. It may not be what we had preferred, but we need to make our peace with it, or it may be a tragedy. This also goes back centuries and centuries. I think it's interesting that the only ones I can come up with are ones that precede modern military confrontations. And in those contexts, there may have been a more level playing field between borrowing terms from the idea of peace to other forms of human activity.
Now, speaking of playing fields, it's hard to think of a human activity with fewer peace-inspired metaphors than sports. Yet Professor Johansson says that in American schools, the typical way to build pride is to rally students around the pursuit of victory.
It's far less common to associate school spirit, let's say, with a spirit of service, of doing maybe service in the community. And a lot of schools do that, but it doesn't quite excite people as much as, winning a ball game or being first in one's athletic conference. So these are things that we need to think about and reflect upon.
Well, your school, Notre Dame, is home to the Fighting Irish, the sports team. So I suppose to call them the peace-loving Irish or the peaceful, would that...
Well, we have a lot of jokes about that, and I think most of these are helpful because certainly people in the Peace Studies Institute are happy to see Notre Dame athletic victories, and it's good for us to reflect on how that desire is one that can be constructive in human interactions and when it seems maybe to get out of line and become destructive.
Professor Robert Johansson at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana. If you have a question or comment, write to VOA Wordmaster, Washington, D.C., 20237 USA, or word@voanews.com. Back next week with Roseanne Skirbel. I'm Avi Arditi.